Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy. I am Fee, and on the panel tonight, I've got Moddy and Rachel.
You have. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Pleasure. And
Pleasure, it's tense
in the studio tonight because we've got Essendon and Hawthorn represented, and the build-up to the big game is palpable.
I'm actually in the other studio. You can't tell. I've had to absent myself.
Protected by a few sheets of soundproof glass.
Well, our other chick said it was the biggest game since the 1985 grand final, so no pressure.
No pressure.
Who was that?
That was Breezer.
Bree.
And Bree would know.
She would actually.
Well,
she's probably
like
done the stats right up until now, from then until now, to figure that out, our Breezer. But tonight, of course, we're going to look back. What a big round of football round 19 was.
I loved it.
Gosh, some thrashings happened and some exciting football. We're going to chat to Andrew McKay. He's the outgoing head of football at Carlton. And if you can remember back this far, he was a Carlton player in the 80s. We looked at his footy card today.
And 90s.
In fact, 2000. Right into the 2000s.
He did the lot.
And one of our favourite newspapers did a fan survey recently, asked all the exciting questions from, you know, who's the best captain in the league? Would you like grand final day and daytime, nighttime? We're going to dissect some of that survey because some of the results that came out were very, very interesting. And, of course, we've got a new segment on our show. One of our listeners that Bree bumped into randomly on a train said they liked our show because it's the same nonsense they talk around the dinner table. So we've got a new segment called The Dinner Table, Chicks Talking Footy Dinner Table.
So we've now just named it, really.
We've just named it.
Feels like a bit of a backhanded compliment, though.
Wow. It was a compliment. I think I added the word shenanigans. But, yeah, we bring our own thoughts to the table.
Good.
We'll be sharing those tonight. Of course, you can get in contact with us. Text 0427569949 or on air at joy.org.au if you've got anything to bring to the dinner table tonight.
And I've also got a little message that Claire from the G-Spot is threatening to come on later in the show to give her tips.
Now, for those of you who are unaware, I'm not sure what rock you've been hiding under, but they do. Is it Thursday breakfast?
It's Friday breakfast.
Friday breakfast. They do their show, the G-Spot. What's their tag?
You can't quite put your finger on it.
Can't quite put your finger on it. So Claire's known for her expertise on football. In a way. So she's going to give us your tips for the next round. So, big round of football, round 19.
Friday night.
My goodness.
What an upset.
Totally.
What an upset. Well, I tipped the Bombers. I had a feeling. The Bombers just played so well. 34 scoring shots during the game.
You may have tipped them, but did you ever expect it to be like that score and a complete whitewash in the second half?
No.
Well, in fact, it was really only the last quarter that they really rubbed their noses in it,
I
think.
But, I mean, the third
there was some good football throughout.
Yes.
I think Hurley was able to keep Buddy to two disposals
He was amazing.
I mean, that's
amazing.
Phenomenal.
And just outplayed him. Like, there was times where Buddy couldn't even get near the ball. Like, Hurley just knew and read the football.
As Bombers supporters or Hurley supporters, we've been like, he's really good one-on-one. Mm. Play him one-on-one. And he was at sea when he was playing in the first half of the year, that sort of sweeping extra man. And they've gone back one-on-one. He killed him.
It proves how good he is one-on-one.
Yeah, he was absolutely sensational. He'd have to be the man of the match, wouldn't he?
Yes. A lot of people said yes. I mean, they kicked 1 point in the last quarter and Essendon kicked 4-8.
Yeah. So amazing. It could have been a big whitewash, but it wasn't due to too much inaccurate kicking. A lot of it was that, you know, the ball would get down there and get tapped through, or you know, that kind of thing, or rush through in lots of ways. So it's not
looking at the score. Sydney is a lot more accurate when they did get it inside their 50 than
it was. Some, what was it? 34 scoring shots to
16.
16. So less than half.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it was just incredible. Totally dominant, and we're terrified of
absolutely
on Saturday. Hawks supporters, let me tell you.
We're going to get annihilated.
Yeah. Well,
I'm never confident. You always take that side, though, too, don't you? The annihilation.
We could be playing Carlton and she'd say that.
I did, actually. I think I said that on the last show I was on.
We need to send you to the therapy about your self-protective Hawthorne ways. Tigers and Collingwood, another great clash, actually. For three quarters, it could have...
Well, in the second and the third half, it was so even, and I...
Third half?
A third half, thank you. The third quarter, if you will.
I'm just going to give you a lesson in fractions, but it can't
self-improvement and fractions, apparently. It was so even, and I thought the Pies could have had it, but then in the fourth quarter...
I thought the third quarter...
It was clinical.
It was Collingwood's quarter, I thought, the third quarter.
Yes, it was.
They looked better.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, clinical. And I heard one of the commentators say, well, Cochin hasn't actually been dominant. And to that point, Dusty hadn't been as his dominant self. And then they just went, boom, put the foot down, off they went.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just look so supreme, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, it was... And it's frightening to think. I mean, their percentage is so high, they'd have to lose... two or three games out of the next four to lose their top spot now. So
I also feel that the race for the grand final is now not about who's going to win the grand final. I feel Richmond most likely going to win. It's now about who will play against them.
You never know.
And whether on the day, potentially, it could that the other team could be the better team, because it really is what happens on the day, despite the rest of the season. Mm,
2008.
Excellent example.
Case in point.
I reckon the only way is if they get beaten interstate. You know, they have to travel if during the finals. Somehow weirdly lose a final and then have to go interstate. I reckon that's the only way they will miss the grand final by some sheer fluke.
They haven't won a game interstate this year, have they?
No.
So that means they might not have played too many, because I don't think they've lost too many games either. Geelong versus the Lions.
Geelong amazing.
Yeah, they ran away with it at a certain point in the game. Giants Saints. 86 to 61.
May I just go back one step to the Geelong match? I made a massive announcement a couple of weeks ago. I think it was at the office, not on air, that the game has gone past Tom Hawkins.
Yeah.
Did you?
So an amazing scribe. And then the next two weeks, he
14
just
goals
blew
later.
The place apart.
Mm. Yeah, seven goals each week.
So glad.
Yeah. Maybe not this Friday.
Exactly, with Rancy. But
so, yeah, exactly.
So maybe we need Claire to give some tips.
Exactly.
Mighty shocking. So Giants, Saints, as expected, the Giants won that one. Now, this Carlton was predicted to not win another game this season.
Congratulations, Carlton.
Oh, no, they've doubled.
They've doubled their wins by beating the Suns. Now,
Sydney?
Yeah, it's funny. The week before they beat Sydney, and then they lose to Carlton. I mean, you can't be more unbalanced than that, really, can you?
And it was, you know, even at halftime, and then Carlton just went inside, and Bolton's gone, oh, come on, guys, seriously. Has some self-respect.
Did a spray.
Yep.
Well, good on them. I'm glad they got something out of this season. Melbourne and Adelaide, this was another great game.
This was.
Saturday night, my goodness. Although any hope of Adelaide making finals is now dashed, one would say. Would that be correct?
I would totally agree with that.
But Melbourne, it was also a scary point, because the week before they'd lost to Geelong after leading 29 points in the final quarter. They led at 29 points again in the final quarter, and we're all sitting there going, don't do it again. But they managed to hold on and kick a late goal that really sealed it. So it was an exciting game of football, unless you're a Crows supporter. North, Eagles.
This surprised me.
Yeah.
Same.
Down in Tassie.
Even so, I still would have picked West Coast, although they don't play as well.
I thought West Coast would still win. They've been playing really well, even without Nick Nat, and they've got their big forwards, you know, back and stuff.
Yeah, North have been surprising like that during this season. They've really had a rocky...
For the last 20 years, I think.
We've just got a text in that says, hashtag Crows Premiers 2019. Yeah. Do you reckon that was from Beck Dahl?
It might be Anne. Could Anne be, Dahl.
Or Ange Pipos.
Could be Angie Pippos. Could be any of them.
I know they were all tense on Twitter on Saturday night.
R. Sloan, it says.
R. Sloan. Bulldogs and Power, as expected, Power smashed the Bulldogs. So Bulldogs have had a funny couple of years, haven't they?
They have.
They've been really poor.
They
haven't just been beaten and things have been a bit up and down.
No, they don't look competitive really at all.
Yeah, they've gone backwards, haven't they? Actually, you know, Bob Murphy released his autobiography this week at readings in Carlton.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And one of the things he said, I hate the term premiership hangover, because a hangover, you feel terrible for a day or two and then you get over it. This is something deep in the psyche of Bulldogs folklore. He gave a speech after the premiership in 2016 and said some Bulldog supporters can now die happy. That's what Kate O'Halloran said in her article in The Guardian
week.
And, you know, now trying to deal with this last 2 years is a whole new
Maybe that's
game.
The problem. Maybe they became complacent. Maybe there's a culture within the club that they sort of they achieved that great goal and then they...
Where to from here?
Exactly.
I think we might be able to piece things together at the end of the year when we see who players leave and things like that, because you know how often that's... And someone like Liam Picken not playing, who sounds like he might be a bit of a heart and soul of the club type player, and he's not on the field, and Bob Murphy's not on the field anymore, so the cohesion's not there.
Mm.
Yeah.
True.
Anyway, interesting, and... Of course, I know Danae was at this game at Optus Oval on Sunday afternoon, Fremantle and Hawthorn. I enjoyed it, but I'm not sure Danae...
Great game. Well done, Bruce.
Yeah.
Played a great game.
That's a huge score for over there, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
It's a slightly bigger oval, is it? Or have they?
But unfortunately, I think it says more about Fremantle and where they stand in the competition as opposed to the opposing team. And that's not just me being negative about Hawthorn.
I know. The thing is, it's hard to tell where we're at because we've played Carlton and Fremantle.
Of course.
You know, bottom six teams. And now we're going to play the Bombers. So it's not sure
what
where we stand.
What did you say about Bruce? What did he do that was so good?
Four goals.
Oh, four goals. Okay.
Four beautiful goals.
He was most valuable player of the month.
No.
And Coleman medal tally. So
he's been playing some good, consistent football.
Yeah, and some exciting goals and just brings
you've needed that really.
Brings the excitement to the game as well. So,
and I think Mitchell got 148 disposals again, so
he's a machine.
He's amazing.
Really is.
Anyway,
really
in a moment we're going to talk to Andrew McKay about what's all that's happening at Carlton and how excited they are about their win on the weekend. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy with Fee, Moddy and Rachel.
Hi, this is Paddy Hill from Hawthorn VFLW. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy.
So welcome back. You're with Motti, Fee and Rachel. And joining us on the line is Andrew McKay. He's the current head of football at Carlton FC and he is one of their champion players from the 90s and into the 2000s. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you for having us.
I'd had your mic down, sorry.
Well, we're going well. We're lacking slightly in, you know,
always
polish,
professional.
thank you for joining us. So shall we go straight to the fortunes of Carlton?
Let's do that. Yeah. we're on a roll.
If you eat a frog first thing in the morning, everything else tastes good. That's what they say.
Do they?
Mm.
That's good. Now, so it hasn't been one of the years to remember, shall we say. So, what positives do you advise the club to take out of a year like this?
Yeah, it certainly hasn't been a year to remember. We've obviously had an enormous amount of injuries, and a list demographic makes it more difficult to deal with those injuries, to be honest, with a lot of young boys on our list and then some more experienced players getting injured. But what that has done is enabled a number of young boys to get more games than probably what they would have otherwise, which will help fast track their development, which should all go well in the future. You know, you see the likes of Paddy Dow, Lockie O'Brien coming on really well this year. Couple of second-year players and Patricia Seaton and so forth. And, you know, if we can get, you know, 50, 60 games into those gentlemen, plus all the others that I haven't mentioned, then certainly that'll all bear well for the future.
So it's sort of by, not by design, but by accident, that these guys are getting more games earlier in their careers?
Yeah, I think so. You look at, and it's certainly been the case of Carlton in the past, but you look at the clubs up the other end of the ladder, that particularly the ones that haven't had injuries, and you know, a player will come into their team at some stage or another, and know, it'll be their first game, and he'll play well, and everyone will think, wow, where's this guy come from? Usually what's happened is they've been playing in the VFL for the last couple of years, learning their trade, learning their running patterns, getting their body physically mature, ready for AFL footy. When you have a lot of injuries and you've got a really young demographic of a list, then, you know, as we've seen this year, the Dows and O'Briens of the world have come in straight away and played all the games, and everyone expects them to be superstars straight away, which is really, really tough because there's a huge gap between under-18 footy and AFL footy. So, in time they will be stars, but just at the moment they're learning their craft and slowly getting better.
And with regards to learning their craft and also the future, you do have some great players who have recently re-signed, such as Crisps, Kerno and obviously Murphy. Do you think that's going to give the club a real emotional boost looking further into the 2019 season?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, I think Charlie was a star of those three, signing Charlie, and you know, Charlie's going to be a super player in the future. He's still got a bit to learn. You can see he's certainly got a lot of talent. And obviously Mark Murphy, our captain, great to get his signature for the next couple of years, and more recently Paddy Cripps. And what it does a couple of things, both internally and externally. Internally, it's great affirmation that we're actually on the right track and that we're doing a lot right internally. And then externally, that gives others confidence that we actually are on the right track and are doing a lot right, and we just need some time to develop. So, you know, when we're trying to attract players at the end of the year, which we will be trying to attract players, I'm hoping the signatures of those three in particular, plus a few others, will give the potential player a really good confidence to say, you know what, Carlton are on the right track. They're going to be a strong team in the next few years. So, hence, jump on board. So we're looking forward to hopefully trying to attract some more players. And, you know, certainly the signatures of Paddy and Mark and Charlie will help do that.
You've got another number one draft pick coming your way too.
Yeah. Well, unless we win all the last four games.
What do you think the likelihood of that is, Andrew?
Granted, it is slim, but not impossible, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough.
Always thinking positive.
In saying that, you know, we'd love to win another couple of games before the end of the year, and we don't ever go out there thinking we're not going to try and win this game. And that's really important for everyone to understand. Every time we go out on the grass, we go out there with a view to win the game. Absolutely, no matter who's in the team or no matter who's in the opposition team, we go out there to win every game. And sure, we're a young, inexperienced list at the moment, so it doesn't often come out, but certainly you can see some, I think Bolts calls them green shoots, doesn't he?
You've got to tell him to keep smiling, as he's used to smile a lot more.
So, you know, we'd love to get another couple of wins before the end of the season. But, yeah, at this stage, it's certainly looking likely that we'll get the first pick in the draft.
Yes. Well, look, one thing, Carlton's been a great supporter of AFLW. Would you say the standard of the players in the AFLW has increased over the first couple of years?
Yeah, and I think that'll continue to do so. You see the under-18, I went up to the Gold Coast and saw the under-18 championships for the girls, and, you know, the standard of play is really quite high. So I'm looking forward to those girls, you know, being drafted and getting into AFL environment and then developing further. And then, you know, you look at junior footy, you know, the under-12s, under-13s, under-14s, where these girls have come from Auskick all the way through. And so in 4 or 5 years' time, when they come through that under-18 level and then the open level, then it's just going to keep getting better and better and better.
So they won't have the gulf where they weren't allowed to play. They'll have the continuum of playing all the way through from Auskick, which should help dramatically, I would think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they'll be, you know, if that's the case, well, there's no reason why a female athlete won't be as good as a male athlete from Auskick all the way through, and that's their number one sport all the way through. As you alluded to, a lot of the girls that are playing now played Auskick and then up to under 11s, under 12s, and usually that was with the boys. And then they've been asked to leave just in case they got hurt. And then they've revisited the sport again at the open level or under 18 level, more likely the open level in the, 19, 20. And then being able to hone their craft then. So they've missed an awful lot of development years. Those years between sort of 12, 13 years old to 17 years old, that's when they do all that development phase. So they've missed all that and they have to catch that up when they start playing footy again.
So when you were up on the Gold Coast looking at that carnival, were you also, I believe you have a daughter that's got fabulous skills in AFL. Is she going to go down the AFLW path?
I think she'd like to. It all came as a bit of a rush. She played for the Sandy Dragons, the rep team, last year and then this year, and she enjoyed it a lot more this year. And then she was asked to go out and train and then obviously play for Vic Metro, and she really enjoyed it. So time will tell. She's in the All-Australian squad at the moment that plays in the game before the EJ Whitten game in that bye weekend between the
fantastic.
And then the final. So she's in that, which is basically the top 22 girls in Victoria versus the top 22 girls in the rest of the country.
Wow.
So depending on how well she does there, she may... We may look at her and we may well make her the first ever father-daughter. So,
What I was going to ask. Is there a father-daughter system set up at the moment? Because probably now's the time to do that.
Yeah, that's right. If there's not, I better put one in place.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. there is, and it's based on the old men's system. The women's system isn't a point system with the draft and things as yet. It's not a national draft. It's a state-based draft still. So the father-daughter rule is like the old men's system where, say, we want to nominate Abby, my daughter, this year, then we'd there's a nomination period and we'd go to the AFL and say, yeah, we want to nominate her as a father-daughter.
Hmm.
And then other clubs would consider picking her, and if they picked her, then we could actually pick her the our next pick after them. So we still get her and for a slightly reduced rate. So that's how it works. The parameters of father-daughter in the men's system, a couple of hundred games. The 100 games. The parameter for the father-daughter is just one game. Trying to encourage father-daughters because it's a good news story.
It sure is. And soon there'll be mother-mother rule.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Now, and mother-son.
Yes, and mother-son, yes.
That'd be amazing to fast forward 10 years and see how that all goes.
Yeah.
So, Andy, just quickly before we do let you go, where to now for you? You're leaving Carlton the end of this season as head of football. Are you staying in the game or have you got other plans?
Yeah, I'm exploring all options. I think I'd like to stay in footy. And the reason I'm leaving Carlton is a decision for me rather than a decision for Carlton or the fans. Carlton's all I know. So if I'm going to develop further, I need to experience different environments. So whether that be football at another club or whether that be football at AFL or whether that be another sport or even private enterprise, I just need to put a few more strings in my bow just to keep developing myself. So I can keep climbing that ladder, so to speak.
Mm.
And that's the thought process around it. So I'm keeping my options fully open. I'm speaking to a lot of people in the industry, speaking to other people in other sports and others around the place as well. So I'm hoping something will bob up in the not-too-distant future, but I'm not overly concerned. I'm a vet by trade, of course, so I've still got that to do as well.
Well, apparently there's an assistant coaching position going at West Coast sometime soon, so you never know what will open up. But thanks so much, Andrew, and good luck with your path. It sounds like you're in a bit of a reset mode. And thanks so much for the chat tonight on Chicks Talking Footy. We really enjoyed learning all about the inner workings of the Carlton Football Club.
Mm-hmm. Good luck for the end of the season.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew.
Pleasure to all you, ladies. Okay, bye. See you, bye.
Cheers, bye.
Hi, it's Gerald Rector, CEO of Vic Health, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
It's our mate Gerald, the CEO of the Vic Health, who was at our Pride game this year.
She was. And she's a great supporter of ours, Faye, isn't she?
She is, indeed. And we have a segment coming up now. There was a survey done in a particular newspaper in Melbourne where they interviewed the fans. So surveyed a whole lot of fans about every topic you can possibly imagine. I think there was 30 things that were surveyed, everything from sexiest AFL player to...
Don't say that. Rachel's got steam coming out of her ears.
It's got issues. Well, this is why we're going to talk about it. One of the questions that was asked that I find funny was, do you think your club can contend for a premiership in the next 4 years? Now, we know there's 18 teams, right? So only a maximum of four can actually win a premiership. Do you know how many people said yes? 87%. So most people.
I was part of the 13% that said no.
What a surprise. I would say, hang on, I'm usually not massively confident about Essendon's, but I would probably say yes, maybe.
Yeah, I would say yes. But, you know, I remember when Borders was a bookstore, there was a best-selling book called What to Do When Your Child's Gifted. And it was a bestseller. And I was like, so what that means is that every parent is thinking their child is gifted, which by virtue of that means no one's child is actually gifted. Every child can talk by the time it's two and, you know. Anyway, this is a good question.
It just also seems like the most ridiculous statistic. I mean, it doesn't make sense. How did they get that data? Like, it's just silly. Anyway, sorry.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, Family Feud. They just survey.
Yeah, but
people.
It doesn't mean anything if you don't know what club they're talking about.
Well, that's true. It'd be nice to get a breakdown of the clubs that people, their supporters, and what clubs they're from and what they think.
Well, when we talk about the newspaper, it's a smaller newspaper, and they're not sometimes as thorough as they could be. Mm,
this is true. This is a good question. How many games should each club play?
Is a good question.
Danae has feelings on this.
So shall I give the results and then we,
yes.
We can discuss? There's 47% of people said 22 games, which is as it is currently. 30% of people said 17 games, meaning each team would play each other once. And 23% said 34 games, play each team twice.
34 games, that's a big season.
That can't be sustainable.
I'm going to strike that now. Yeah. Yes, greedy 23%.
I don't have 34 games in me to watch.
Well, first of all, how would it work? I mean, we do have other sports that need to be played.
Well, the other thing is, one of the factors is the women's league and how it's going to develop. So how do we make room for the women's league within the season? At the moment, it's only 8 weeks long. But if it grows and extends, where does it fit?
But it has to, doesn't it? Because next year with two extra more teams.
Yeah,
so it has to be.
But I think they're talking about doing a conferencing kind of system, so it doesn't necessarily
that'd be annoying,
mean
that. Wouldn't it?
Like a round robin.
Yeah.
Right.
I think
importantly, 34 games, that's not sustainable. The amount of injuries.
I also think
34 plus finals.
Plus finals.
But I also think it is unfair that you play some teams twice and not others, considering that, well, some clubs would be better at beating other clubs.
So could you do it over 2 years? That's one suggestion.
So one grand one grand final every two years.
No. But could you make sure that it's evened up over 2 years?
Oh, with the fixture.
I don't. Obviously, a lot more thought would have to go into it, Bree, and we can discuss it further.
You really need a complicated formula system with your spreadsheet.
But you know what I mean, because that means then there's 44 games. It still doesn't, you know, make it totally even, but
I don't think it can be fair though, because each season you need to go through the team will be reevaluating, they'll get different draft picks, people will move. So even if over that 2 year period in 1 year you think it's fair to make the fixture for the next year in such a way, potentially all of the other external factors may mean that is no longer valid, that fairness that you try to incorporate.
Yeah, because then if you know, if in this case, you know, the one thing that Gold Coast have got going for them, or one of the few, Tom Lynch could then be gone by the second.
Exactly.
He might go at the end of the year, it looks likely.
And that can then that can change the culture of the team, that can change the cohesive nature or the leadership of the team, and that can be its downfall.
Anyway, interesting. I'm for 17 games. I think every team
sure
plays each other once. Yep.
I mean, it makes most sense, but then, so then would you have a more official pre-season something rather?
My inclination would be to grow the women's.
I was going to say that would allow
give more room to the women's league over the year.
They'll never do it by the fortunes of the men's league for the women. So the money wise, so that I don't think they'd ever go down to 17 unless they supplanted
something else that was going to
five in somewhere else. Yeah. That, you know.
It's only 5 weeks though. It's not a huge amount of time.
It's a huge amount of money.
It is a huge amount of money. Good point.
It is indeed. What other things were mentioned, Moddy?
Well, let me just take this.
That struck a chord with you.
Shall I take this to the light? Do you follow AFL women? So of 25
this
questions,
is an interesting
there was
one
about AFL women's. So the no percentage was 60% and the yes percentage was 40%.
Now, interestingly, we were talking about this off air. Now, interestingly, I looked at that and I thought that was a really positive statistic.
Mm.
So I thought, okay, how many people, Rachel, do you think follow AFL in Australia?
In Victoria or Australia?
No, Australia.
Oh, gosh, 70%?
So you've
gone high. We sort of went conservatively.
Out of 24 million people, how many million do you think follow the AFL?
But what do you define by follow? Are they members? Are they people who just enjoy a game on a Friday night? Are they people who say that they barrack for Collingwood but they've never really gone to a game?
The kind of Catholic go to church on Christmas.
Let's just say
that you follow at some level. It doesn't matter.
I would say it's quite high. Yeah. I'd say around 70%.
Okay, so out of 24 million people.
Let's just say
12 million. So 40% of 12 million would be, what, five?
Should have made it
four
an
and a half.
One.
It'd be about 4.5 million.
4.8, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be about 4.8.
I've got no idea. I said the third half the other day recently in the show, so.
But yeah, about 4.8 million. Let's just say 4.8 million. That would be roughly 40% of 12 million. That's a lot of people.
Watching a game AFLW.
That's been officially going in the four points for 2 years.
Mm, true.
That's only become part of the AFL fixture. Now, however, there was a very negative article written saying, see, they're struggling to get traction.
Really?
Yeah. So the Herald Sun and a journalist there has written an article. The headline is Footy Fan Survey 2018, AFLW struggling to gain support of wider footy community. And the journalist goes on to write, according to the Herald Sun Footy Fan Survey, this played this, blah, blah, blah. Not once do they say it's only one question.
Mm.
And they've made it out that the entire survey was about the AFLW, and it wasn't at all. It was
one question about football.
You almost need to do a separate survey.
So this created this big article that no one's watching the AFLW. And that's not actually
It's also
accurate.
Discounted. It's still in its infancy. There are only a small number of teams. It's growing. As indicated by our previous guest, there's obviously a lot of players who are now starting to be able to start at grassroots, and they're going to be able to build that skill and that maturity in the game, which once upon a time they didn't have that opportunity.
Mm.
So I think that's quite a good statistic considering the infancy.
So you can
FLW.
Be optimistic, Rachel. Now, eight out of eight, there's 18 teams in the men's.
Yes.
So only eight so far have played in AFLW. A lot of people that don't support those teams just wouldn't follow the women's because their team doesn't play.
Good point.
So as it grows, surely that number would automatically increase.
Exactly.
I mean, at the moment, Hawthorn don't have an AFLW team. I mean, I follow the VFLW. But
I do too. See, I mean, that's why that question's interesting because I follow the AFLW. I love watching it, but I don't have a team.
Well, I mean, I just love football, so I will follow for that reason. But there's people that aren't like that follow their team and that's why they go to football. Now, Moddy, we've had someone respond to your suggestion Your question over two teams. It says, how do you do it over 2 years? That's play everyone over 2 years.
Oh, yep.
The actual team changes, the coaches leave. It's not the same team in the second season.
Exactly.
That was my point.
Thank you, Brad.
Brad.
I was just sort of chucking it up there as a possibility, and almost as I was saying it, I realised that it was quite a foolish suggestion, but...
But you have to hash these things out when there's been a fan
I think it's
survey.
A lot less foolish than playing each team twice.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No,
yeah.
No,
I'm,
that's
I'm
silly.
For 17 teams. We've also had another message come in, and it's from Stephen. It says, you're my weekly update. Oh, hang on. Can you scroll up a bit, Molly?
Sorry, I did that. That was my own. I'm getting excited after Brad has
always professional.
Pointed me.
I can't keep up with these messages. I'm reading all the fan mail. So thank you very much to the gals on Women Talking Footy. You are my weekly update on all things football. I'm nearly 52-year-old bisexual man who chooses to romance men. What? Ply. I'm not sure what that means. And as such. Not really follow the AFL closely. I'm also an Uber driver partner and as such get folk as riders who automatically expect a guy of my age to be conversant on the topic of AFL. Gals, you give me every week more than enough AFL news and information to bluff my way through such conversations with confidence.
Oh, I love it.
We're doing a duty to society.
Oh, thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, thanks, Stephen.
That makes me feel the pressure to be accurate with our...
Look, why start now, Pete?
Exactly.
Hopefully I'm getting those names right, Stephen, but you never know, do you?
You never know. Okay, so speaking one more, and this is grinds my gears. So as we said, there's one question about women in sport, but there's also one other question about women, and it's who's the most glamorous wag? Because that is so important to the game of football. That is also next to the question of who is the sexiest AFL player. Once again, very important about the skill on a football field. Mm. It is ridiculous. It perpetuates stereotypes that are archaic and a patriarchal agenda, and I've had enough, and those two questions should be struck off.
Okay.
Well, given if we go back to it, there's one question about do people watch the AFLW?
And then they have this sexist, misogynistic question.
The glamorous wag.
Although I do happen to know that if you surveyed the boys at Joy, Alex Rance would be a favourite.
Well, he has won, and Megan Gale has won the ladies race, if you call it that, but... Oh, I know.
Anyway, before this...
There you go. Thank you for letting me grind my gears.
No, I totally 100% agree with you, Rach. Totally. Oh, but hell, there you go. That would be Beck. Beck Dahl wants to know who the sexiest player is.
Well, it was Alex Rance.
It doesn't say Beck Dahl, but that's her kind of work, I reckon.
It is.
Alex Rance, 30%. Charlie Curnow, 13%. Lance Franklin, 12%. Easton Wood, not bad, 8%. And Lockie Wellett, don't even know
I
what
thought
he
Easton
like.
Wood would have been higher.
But Beck Dahl, I need to say, if it is you, Phil Davis did not cop a mention.
Mm. Mm. You just didn't put in enough votes,
you didn't
Beck. You thought your 400 votes was enough.
You didn't
enough.
Put your survey in. All right, in a moment we're going to have our CTF, Chicks Talking Footy, dinner table conversation. We're going to all bring things to the table. You, of course, are welcome to bring things too on 0427 569 949 or on air at joy.org.au. And Claire from the G-Spot might sneak in with her expertise on footy tips.
Hi, I'm Peter Searle from St Kilda Football Club and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9 FM.
Oh, Pete Searle.
Love Peter.
She's VFLW coach at the Southern Saints and doing a great job. Now, Moddy.
Yes.
How much fan mail have we got tonight?
I can't believe it. Something has happened.
Something.
I mean,
we've gone viral.
Listening.
We've gone viral.
We've gone viral.
About seven of the eight are from...
father says.
Yeah, seven of the eight are from Breezer or Beck, but...
And two from Stephen, because he has clarified that the typo was he romances men only and has apologised for
we
his
We didn't
typo.
Know what romancing men ply was, Stephen, so I'm glad you cleared that up.
Oh, and Brad. Brad's back. He's had to laugh about the wag question. And did they include the wags of the women's league in that? No, they did not.
No, they did not, Brad.
Thank you for mentioning
but
it.
But some of that would just be players and dating players, wouldn't it? That's what I've heard.
But, you know, Aaron Phillips' wife might, you know, she might be the glamorous wag or whatever.
Did you read out Breezes? Breezes said, listening to Rach go all lawyer on the AFL survey is awesome listening. I think she officially had a rant.
I did have a rant. But also I just statistics in sort of an arbitrary setting.
And Alex rant.
Are you expecting intelligence from that?
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, thanks. Right. Thanks, fans.
Dinner table.
Right. Now, we have a dinner table segment now because apparently that's the kind of shenanigans we talk. Now, Moddy, what have you got to bring to the dinner table tonight?
Well, mine is on the broader theme of assistant coaches because today, on August the 1st, being the horse's birthday, is the day that clubs have to tell their assistant coaches if they want to re-sign them.
Mm-hmm. Who knew there was a deadline?
I know, because it used to be at the end of the season, but then clubs could just cut assistants loose and they had no opportunity to do interviews or get a job. So today's the day, and I've heard no press on it, but the AFL Coaches Association advise their guys and women, if you haven't been signed by now,
you have.
You should probably start looking.
Right.
So they have a right under their current contract to essentially be like a free agent.
Yes. So they can go and do the interviews and go and chat to people and stuff like that.
I think
and
that's
then
fair.
I'm winding Sam Mitchell, assistant coach, into that entree there.
Well, he could just forget to put his contract in.
Well, he's contracted for 4 years, no, and he's only done two. He's 1 year playing, 1 year coaching, and it's now been talked that he's requesting to leave West Coast. I think they should get compensation.
Yes. I agree.
Eddie McGuire said that on his radio show yesterday, I think, and it's not often I say I agree with Eddie.
I agree with him too.
So how would that work? So if another club, like, for example, Hawthorn, took Sam Mitchell as an assistant coach, they would have to pay West Coast some money to do that.
I think that's the only way. I mean,
or would the AFL have to compensate the club, not the club who took...
That wouldn't be fair, sure.
Whoever. Brad, what do you think?
Brad seems to know stuff.
For sure.
I don't know. Someone
because I don't know whether the club... Because unless the club has been instrumental in the poaching of that person, I don't think they should be penalised for the decision of...
Someone leaving
and wanting to join a Melbourne club, whoever that might be. So I think really the AFL could possibly be in the position to compensate.
So like in the draft, the compensation picks in the draft. Yeah, I think it'd have to be something like that, and it'd have to be monetary because else could it be?
They're earning a lot of money in fines this year, aren't they?
Mm. It's a difficult situation, though, because if someone does want to leave the club, I think it can be quite detrimental to force them to stay. But contemporaneously, I think that's right. You need to fulfil your contract and your responsibilities to the club.
Mm.
So it's a very difficult situation.
Yeah, or staying around for 2 years for a club you don't want to be in. That's awkward.
Oh, you should have thought of that before, Sam.
Yeah.
Should have stayed with Hawthorn.
Could have told you. You know.
Yeah, we could have told you. Yep.
All right, who's got main course?
Well, I think main course this week has to be Jack Higgins' goal during Richmond-Collingwood game. My goodness, how do you have the wherewithal to keep the ball alive like he did, run round behind the goalpost, come back into play and then kick it through?
Yeah.
There's lots of different schools of thought, isn't there?
So yes, well,
do you want to
contentious.
Explain to people, Fee, what the contention is
It was contentious because he kept the ball in play, sort of tapped it up. And a few people on the internet were saying that it, a few Twitter experts were saying that it was a throw. And then other people at the time thought it might have been touched by the Collingwood player. I can't remember his name. But it definitely wasn't touched. But the contention is if he was throwing it, he actually kept it in the air and then kicked it. So there's no rules on how you get that ball to your boot.
And also,
he wasn't handballing it to another player and then therefore throwing it to a player. He kept it alive in the air and then kicked it. So it was just a matter of how he got it to his boot.
And so I had extraordinarily long legs, I could throw the ball and kick it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, you kind of do. You kind of do.
Well, no, that. Well, yeah, they do, but not in the extent that he... Like, it's quite obvious that...
It's sort of... It did come out of his hand in the way that had he not got his boot to it, he would have been penalised. But the other thing is he wasn't. He wasn't penalised for a throw anyway, so it's
true.
Goal.
It's got to be goal of the year.
If for nothing else, just because it was so incredible.
Yeah. Amazing.
And also amazing thought process to be able to do
totally.
That.
I love that about, supreme athletes. They just go, I can do that.
And have those amazing reflexes as well. Fantastic.
All right, quickly before we get on to our
dessert
tips.
Like to congratulate Alex Johnson, who is returning to football. Last time he played was in 2012 in the grand final for Sydney.
Injured.
He has been injured. He has suffered some quite significant health issues. He's had 5 knee reconstructions, 7 other operations on his knee, a recurring infection and groin surgery. But kudos as well to the Swans for keeping him on and believing in him. I think it's also really good for him as well to know that he can go
supported.
Back and that he was supported through this time.
The mental resilience you've got to have to stick at it for that long.
Well, it's been 2,135 days since he last wore the jersey, so...
So,
Donya, Alex.
Well done, Alex. So, everyone's hearts will be in their mouth.
Exactly.
Like when poor Alex goes to kick or pick up the ball.
First disposal, everyone cheer.
Near his knees.
So, just on that. So, in 6 years, I think it's around 6 years, how many of the players that are playing to the team this weekend would he have played with before?
Eight.
Eight.
Not even Buddy was in the
squad. So, Joel, they remain on the list. Kennedy and so it would be Kennedy.
Kieran Jack. Is Kieran Jack still playing? Yeah. Jared McVeigh, I suppose.
McVeigh, yes. Mm. Who else would have been?
Dane Rampy or Heath Grundy or those dudes?
Rampy, was he playing?
I don't know.
2012?
Mm. I'm just showing off saying that I can remember.
Well, Buddy Franklin
names.
Wasn't there. He was still
name dropping.
Playing for.
No, he was playing. He was losing against the Hawks that grand final, and Rachel and I were sitting in a park crying.
Literally.
At night, I can tell you that now. Now, we have a special guest in the studio.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Claire from the G-Spot, breakfast on Friday mornings here on Joy.
Yes.
She's known for her lack of football expertise. So
yes, that's, we thought I cannot lie. I'll try, though, doing the tips.
We're going to get you to help us with our tips based on whatever information you have.
I'm going colours.
Colours?
Yeah.
Well, we've printed in black and white.
I was going to say, that's going to be a problem.
Okay.
We can tell you the colours.
Okay, right.
So the first game is Richmond, black and white. Geelong, blue and white.
Richmond's black and yellow.
Black and yellow. And Geelong is
black. I'll pass it over.
Oh, there we go.
So Richmond versus Geelong.
Okay, Richmond versus Geelong. I'm going to go the yellow and black.
Tigers over the Cats.
That's pretty accurate.
Yep, that's a good one.
That's good.
Okay, and the next one, Hawthorn versus Essendon.
I just want to pause here for a moment because Rachel and I are Hawks supporters. Moddy is a Bomber supporter, and I reckon this is going to be the game of the round.
I think I could be quite controversial here.
Just wait for it.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Red and black.
Red and black. Yeah. Well done, Claire.
Yeah,
it's the Bombers, the Bombers.
Now, you're saying that because you may or may not be in a relationship with someone that
barracks. No, darling, I'm just looking at the colours.
I reckon there's unconscious bias right there.
The colours are what is drawing.
So poo and wee colours don't excite you at all? It's very disappointing.
Honey and chocolate. Honey and chocolate.
Isn't there a school uniform that has these colours, the brown and the yellow?
Oh, possibly.
Poor kids.
It's not nice.
Poor kids.
But the three of us, Sophie, Rachel and I are all going, so we'll be reporting back whether we're still friends next week.
That's right.
Or I'm still crying.
Are we going together?
I'm sitting with you, Moddy.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for noticing. Thanks.
I'm sitting with my brother-in-law.
You can come.
I'll probably be leaving at halftime anyway. So
we'll come and have a yellowish beverage together.
Rachel's nickname is Halftime Heart Attack Hopkins.
Now, Claire, we continue.
Yes.
Brisbane Lions versus North.
I don't know what that is, so I'm going to go this nice colour here. Look.
That's Brisbane.
Okay. And that's blue, yellow, and is that a burgundy or an aubergine?
Burgundy.
What would you say there?
It's a bronze.
Oh, right, that too as well. Yeah. Let's put them all in. I'm going for them.
Okay, Brisbane over North Melbourne. You're going for Brisbane.
Who the hell knows?
Who knows?
I'm just trying my best here. Oh, I quite like this one. What's that one?
That's Port Adelaide.
Yes, let's go then.
Okay, but they're not. Port Adelaide, yeah.
All right, against Adelaide Crows. Yeah, that's a good, strong possibility.
St Kilda versus Bulldogs.
I like this blue, red, white, and then a deeper blue.
Mm, yes. Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. They need your support.
Do they?
Yeah, they're not going so well.
Didn't they win someplace?
Yeah, but that's somewhere. A bottom six.
Yeah, 2 years
that's
ago.
Who's going to be the best of the bottom six that game?
Can I just say, though, so far opposed from one, I'd say most people would tip exactly this way.
Oh,
so
right.
It just goes to show colours are very, very
it's
helpful.
It's like when you buy a bottle of wine, you just go by the label, right?
Red drink.
Okay, so the Alex Johnson Cup. Sydney Swans versus Collingwood.
I like this with the kind of red arrow.
Sydney.
Yep. Sydney.
All right, next, Carlton versus GWS.
Well, I have to go this kind of amber colour with a slash of white. I don't know what that is.
Grey.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Orange, grey and white, very natural jersey jumper colours.
GWS, that is. Melbourne versus Gold Coast.
Oh, the Gold Coast, look at that, beautiful. Red and, I don't know, yellow.
And West Coast versus Fremantle.
I really kind of like this black and white situation
purple,
with the stripes.
Purple.
Even, oh, well, there's the aubergine I've been looking for this whole round. I'm going for them.
Fremantle.
Oh, okay. Danae, you'll be happy about
that. We'll report back and see if Claire's colour tips.
And do you know what? People like Claire always win the tips at work. Don't they?
Oh, should I enter?
Because you're not emotional. Yeah, that's right. Now, in a moment, we've got our community notice board and we've had some more fan mail here on Chicks Talking Footy. Well, we hope you enjoyed Claire's tips as much as we did. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9 with Fee, Rachel and Moddy. Now, we've had some more fan mail. coming.
Really excited.
I am fainting with excitement.
One person, Tristan, has said, hi there, I'm loving the show. I just wanted to say hi to my mum, Lynn, and we're picking up my partner, Chris, from work after having dinner at our friend's place.
Well, hello, Lynn.
Hi,
and
Lynn.
Tristan.
And the next message says, hey, Dean and Gary.
Aren't they coming up? I love listening to We the Champions.
That's right.
Gosh, I mean, it's great for them, but or maybe it was deflated a bit.
Hey, comma, Dean and Gary, we love We Are the Champions.
Doesn't matter.
Don't know.
None of us are Dean or Gary.
Neither of us are Dean or Gary. Now, community notice board, there's a Football Women of the Year Awards, and the Essendon Football Club asked us to read this out because they run this event. There's three categories: Football Woman of the Year, Emerging Leader, and the Community Award.
And Best Tipster is
and
the
Best
category.
Tipster. Best Football Tipster.
Surely.
Who hasn't nominated Claire yet? Well, if you want to nominate Claire, you can go to footballwomenofthe year.com.au and give all your reasons.
I'll happily accept
maybe
that award.
By what colour she's wearing right now. But this year's winners will be awarded at the Grand Final Comedy Debate, which will be held on the 27th of September.
Okay, so...
But the nominations close on the 10th of August, so you've got to be quick sticks.
Well, Susan Alberti's won it, I believe, in the past. So who do you think, just off the top of your head, could...
I think Peter Searle's won it.
What about someone like Sam Mostyn or Gabriel Train as an AFL commissioner or...
Oh, yeah.
Bree Davey, the player, or...
Who knows?
Or someone that is behind the scenes more than that. There we go.
Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, you might know of women doing lots of great things in the football arena. Make sure you nominate them.
Football
Get
Woman
them
of
recognised.
.com.au.
The unsung heroes. All right, now we have to say goodnight.
Oh,
I know. But we've got a good round of footy to look forward to, that's for sure.
Wait.
Now, Moddy and I and Rachel, we may still be friends this time next week, but one of us will be a winner.
Yes.
Or some of us will be a winner.
Two of you will be a winner. One of you won't be very happy.
Oh, Claire, well, you've picked...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the other way.
Or two of you will be very
there you
happy.
Go. Yeah, and
one of you will be a winner.
Well, yes, because you picked the red and blacks.
Oh, it's very difficult.
My gosh, the
stuff.
Maths on the show today has just been exceptional, hasn't it? We've had
hey, I love
three
the third
halves.
Half.
Yeah, loves that third half of football. You can hear more shenanigans on our podcast. Make sure you subscribe, or we'll see you next week on Chicks Talking Footy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.